You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Good morning. It's not the morning, but it is to me. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire, through USA Today Sports Media Group. And just because I have it sitting right next to my microphone, I want to see if y'all can hear this. That is my Emperor Palpatine lightsaber that I got because of May the 4th. Came over the weekend, and I'm very excited about it. It's on my desk right next to where I'm recording. So that's there. I am a 4 lightsaber owner. It's stupid. When did that happen? When did I become such a nerd? I don't know. With it, start with our leaders and best because it is the mailbag. James Crudup at James Crudup 6. Which do you feel like recruits value more, seeing a winning product already on the field or their belief they can come in and be the difference and turn it around? I think it's definitely, and I think this is evident when you look at the teams that are winning recruiting championships most of the time. Alabama, Ohio State, product on the field. That said, Michigan does pretty good with the come in, turn it around. Texas has done really good, the come in and turn it around. But generally, the teams that are doing the best are the ones that have had the consistent track record. Like, you get your biggest uptick, you tend to, with a new coaching staff because they can pitch that. But then eventually, like, you know, like Michigan had a couple years, you know, right around number 5. And then they went down to like 18 or whatever it went in 2018, you know? So I think there's a lot to being able to pitch. Hey, you can come in and turn it around, but there's a lot more to those schools who already have a culture of winning. Josh Barr at Jadicky. Considering recent Michigan results in field hockey and gymnastics, I was wondering what your favorite non-football or basketball Michigan sporting event has been. That's hard, man, because I, no offense to other sports, I just do not care that much outside of football and occasionally basketball and occasionally hockey. I just don't. Now, I have a soft spot in my heart for gymnastics because when I was a senior at Michigan, it was the year that Big Ten Network launched. And I got to be a utility for a lot of different non-revenue sports. More often than not, it was women's gymnastics. I got to do the Big Ten tournament, Big Ten tournament. That was great, but it was also terrible. It was all day. And it came the day after I had to have an all-nighter as the producer of the film I was producing for, at the time it was called Screen Arts and Cultures. So Screen Arts and Cultures 432. So basically, I got back home, got like a half hour nap, and then went and did this Big Ten tournament. But I did women's gymnastics a few times. I did men's gymnastics once. Did a lot of basketball games. That was Beeline's first year. But outside of that, like, I mean, I've done some baseball games. I've done some softball games. Baseball is probably the closest to what I can enjoy because I grew up playing baseball. So that's probably it for me. But and then women's gymnastics. Because, I don't know, it's just, and I made a friend for a little while. Randomly, like, befriended a Minnesota Golden Gophers gymnast in 2000. That would have been 2008. We were friends for a couple years. So, that was cool. Just making a random friend. Not a romantic friend, just a friend. But based off of that. My brother in metal, Michael Wolf at MWolf21. Which of the new coaches are you looking forward to talking to the most? Unfortunately, it would have been Lindquist, and he's gone. I already know Ron Bellamy. I've talked to Mike Hart privately a couple times. So I think it would be either Mike Hart now that he's a coach. Because I haven't obviously talked to him since he's become a coach. I told you all about the last time I talked to him in Bloomington. But I would say, I know there's McDonald and George Hilo. We've already talked to Mike McDonald already. I asked him the first question right out the gates when we had him. I think Mike Hart would be obviously interesting. I kind of hope that we get him Michigan State week. I know that they probably won't give him to us, and I know that even if they do, not going to say anything inflammatory. But Matt Weiss, I loved his appearance on the In the Trenches podcast, and he is just so accomplished and so widely lauded from his time in Baltimore that I think Matt Weiss is the one that I want to hear more from now that Linguist is gone. But would have been Linguist. No offense to Steve Klinkscale. I've talked to Ron Bellamy a lot over the course of the last several years, especially with the recruitments of Donovan Edwards and others. Makari Page, I mean, heck, back to Lance Dixon. So, Bellamy was the one who told, like, I just asked, when he gave me Donovan Edwards, I just asked that, hey, who should I talk to on your team? I'm like, I need to talk to Makari. Who else? And he's like, well, you need to talk to this kid. He is about to blow up. It's Donovan Edwards. Had his Michigan offer for like a week or two at that point or something like that. Finishing us out in segment one, Jimmy Whitner at Jimmy Whitner 1. Does the addition of Klinkscale raise your expectations for the season? And before we get to the second question, no, because I think that Klinkscale coaching, well, I think he might be a little bit better of a coach. Like we went into the development and the coaching compared to, not compared to Linguist, but Linguist doesn't necessarily have the most insane track record on that front. He had a good track record, but Klinkscale's got an excellent track record. So I wouldn't necessarily say it raises my expectations for the season. I just think that it's a good hire. And I think it can eventually pay dividends, but it might not pay dividends right away. Number two, who do you want Michigan to play in the Big Ten ACC Challenge in basketball? Always either Duke or North Carolina, because I'll take a big-time matchup, even if it's unfavorable, every day of the week. I loved when they played North Carolina those couple years. One of them obviously wasn't in the Big Ten ACC Challenge, but it was in the Battle for Atlantis tournament. But the other one was, you know, the Big Ten ACC Challenge, and when Michigan blew them out, the Tar Heels out, it was like put Michigan on the radar. That's the thing I love about playing those schools. The other one, I mean, I'd like to see Florida State again. You know, I mean, I know they just played in the tournament, but I mean, that's always a good storyline, especially the Leonard Hamilton, Juwan Howard connection. When I look at a lot of the other schools, I don't really care. Like, obviously, don't really care about Notre Dame in basketball. Don't really care about Pitt or Syracuse. I mean, I do care. I mean, Syracuse is good in basketball. But, you know, when I think ACC, I think obviously Duke, North Carolina, NC State, the U would be fun as well. Not that they're that great in basketball. Sometimes they're okay, but that would be it. All right. Let us move on. We got more of your questions coming up here in a moment. But first, rockauto.com. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle. Choose the brand specifications and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and for do-it-yourselfers, so why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or your truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Feel the hate flow through you. That's a terrible Palpatine impression. Terrible. So happy with this lightsaber. It's awesome. It was $100 on May the 4th, back up to 230 or something now. Got that one, and I got a Saj Ventress to go along with my Kylo Ren and the one that I built. So excited about that. Such a nerd. What happened to my motorcycle? It's sitting in a field decaying. Instead, I've got all these lightsabers. Combined, the amount that I've spent cost as much as how much it cost me to buy my motorcycle. Sigh. Anyway. Jim at Jim in the North with multiple as usual. I love the last pod about what Michigan is. Having graduated in 96, I couldn't agree more. One point you made was that excuse Jim, if I know that you commented on this and said that you had just had surgery typing with one hand. So I am very much apologetic for that. I hope you get better soon. But I might butcher some of what you're saying here. One point you made was that you said being elite wasn't feasible right now. What do you think is holding us back? Academics, recruiting, development? A little bit of everything. Number one, obviously, track record. Michigan hasn't been elite in a long time. Number two, I think that geographical location doesn't help. Number three, Michigan is a hard school. It's hard to, you know, remember Cardale Jones went to Ohio State to play football, not to play school. Michigan, you're going to play school. Not everyone always gets to play school. Some people kind of get out of it, but for the most part, you're going to play school. So that's a little bit harder when you have guys that are like, I'm considering Alabama, I'm considering LSU, I'm considering Florida, and I'm considering Michigan. Well, if you come to Michigan, you're going to have to play school. That's why Michigan really sets up the 40-year difference, not the 4-year difference, which kind of sad makes me think about my conversation with Giles, my first conversation with Giles Jackson back in the summer of 2018. Recruiting, I think that there have been times where they haven't swung for the fences as well. I think they are now, but I think for a little while they were very content to just, you know, get a couple guys, whatever. They didn't seem like they were going in hard for everyone. And it seems like sometimes they just got lazy recruiting wise. And I think that was, and we'll address this later. I think part of that is not having the full, you know, the complement of the staff all in on recruiting. I mean, I think Don Brown's New England guys, most of them turned out really good, right? Sean McCune, I don't think that's necessarily a Don Brown one, but I think that was more of a camp deal. But, you know, he's a New England guy. He didn't get drafted, but he's on an NFL roster, 53-man roster. Played a lot of games this year. Ben Mason got drafted. Again, that's more of a camp guy than whatever. But like even just some of the other guys that are, you know, those Don Brown specials, a lot of them have turned out. Quiddy Pay was a first-round draft pick. But not every 3-star from New England is going to be a first-round draft pick. So I think development, they're doing okay. I think you need more out of your 5-stars. Now, that's not to say it always works. Ohio State's got a guy going in the transfer portal that's never started a game that was a 5-star safety from the St. Louis area. Sometimes it just doesn't work. But I think they do a really good job developing the lower-end guys. Your Ben Masons, your Quiddy Pays, your Josh Metellus's, but we don't see 5-star production from your Donovan Peoples-Jones. So far, we haven't seen it from Christopher Hinton or Daxton Hill. That could very well be coming. They're going to year 3. So that would be that. Building on the last question, what is the key difference between Michigan and Ohio State with you? Is there some kind of key trigger event, like a breakout season, that can get us on the road to being like Ohio State, to being elite? I think the key trigger point was probably Jim Tressel. That's what changed things. The bravado to come in and say, and in however many days, you're going to be proud of us, you know, against Michigan, however he stated it, and then just winning consistently. Winning a national championship very quickly. I think that that was, and then his, you know, his desire to fence Ohio when at that time recruiting was national, but recruiting wasn't at that time what it is now. We weren't connected the way we are now nationally with the internet and social media and all of those things. The world is much smaller now than it was in 2001. So I think that one of the key differences is that Ohio State has won since then, and it's hard to pitch, hey, come and do the things that you can do at Ohio State at Michigan, because Michigan hasn't done it. Track record is a big thing, kind of like we talked about earlier, right at the top of the show. Track record is a huge deal to a lot of kids. Some kids look at Michigan and are like, yeah, it's a pretty good school. They don't look at Michigan like when you were in school and, you know, the mid-90s or when I was in school in the late 90s and early to mid-2000s to late 2000s, actually. You know, when I went to Michigan, I remember like watching Entourage, like was it the pilot of Entourage? Ari Gold says, you know, went to Michigan Law School, and E says, good football team. I remember being in Vegas with my mom and being in the cab, my mom's bragging, my son goes to Michigan, and the guy goes, good football team. I don't think people have that reaction right now. So you got to change the circumstances, which means be better. So it's one of those things, you just got to play above your lot and then sustain it. Easier said than done. Is there any evidence that the program is taking steps to leverage name, image, likeness? I'm sure there are. Once it passed, I know that they tweeted some stuff out, but I don't know outside of that. So I'm not going to pretend to know. Moving on, Zach Woodruff at Zach Woodruff 3. How does the defensive back recruiting board change with clink scale? I've already prefers tall DBs with cornerback skill sets. My guess is Tatum to MSU and Caldwell flips to Michigan. I mean, keep in mind that Dylan Tatum's head coach would be his position coach at Michigan outside of clink scale. So I don't think that that's necessarily accurate. I think he's Michigan's to lose. Maybe the flip happens. I don't know as far as Caldwell, but I don't think that it necessarily does change. I mean, maybe clink scale does get some input, but I mean, keep in mind, this is still Mike McDonald's defense. He's the one who's going to set the, here's what I'm looking for, not Steve clink scale. Clink scale certainly could be like, hey, I really like this player, let's go after him. But it has to be within the parameters of Mike McDonald's defense. Mike McDonald's going to have his own version of guys that he wants, and that's going to take precedence. If Schembechler Hall, he continues, if Schembechler Hall is renamed and the statue removed, and we're going to talk more about this, we got more of these questions, but of course, would Tom Brady be a suitable replacement? I don't think so, because as much as I have been a rational Tom Brady fan since the late 90s. I don't think he's done enough at Michigan to warrant a statue out front. Like, I think he was very good, obviously. Team captain, beat Ohio State, beat Alabama. And I don't think the narrative of Michigan fans didn't want him is accurate. But I think that it would be, if it was to be, if the hall was replaced, the name of the hall was replaced, and there was a new statue, I think it would go to someone else that maybe has a little bit more cachet. I don't, as far as what they did at Michigan, I don't know who that is necessarily, given just kind of everything. Because, like, no, I don't think necessarily Lloyd Carr would be that guy, you know. But if you're looking for someone to say, hey, we're going to do this, I think it would be like one of the Heisman winners, you know. It'd be like Desmond or Woodson. I think that would make more sense. But even then, that's kind of weird, I think, having a player be the representative. I don't know that going with a coach is the way to go right now. I don't know. You'll find out how much I don't know soon if you haven't already. Zach Van Lente at Lindsay Zach. Do you feel like Michigan is underperformed based on talent they have on the team? Do you think the new coaching staff can change that? I do think Michigan's underperformed based on the talent they have on the team, because Ohio State notwithstanding, Ohio State has got better talent overall than Michigan. I don't care what Kalik Hudson or anybody says. I don't remember who the last one is that said that, but they should be beating everyone else in the conference because they have more talent than everyone else in the conference. So in that light, they've underperformed. They should be beating Wisconsin every year. They should be beating Penn State every year. They should be beating Michigan State every year. There is no excuse, no matter how good Indiana is in a given year, that you lose to Indiana. I understand. They were a great story last year. I was rooting for them. But not necessarily in that game. I'm just saying I was rooting for them in general. But I think that they definitely need... I think that the coaching staff can change that. I think it's a mentality. They need a little bit more of a hard edge. Let me take you back to something that Pep Hamilton told me. And I think I've told you this before. I was having a private conversation with Pep Hamilton once, and he said that this is when he was the coach of the DC Defenders in the XFL. And he said, the thing I love about Ohio State guys, because he's had a couple Ohio State guys in the XFL, he's like, they need football. They need it. They crave it. They need it in their lives. Like, as if they don't have football, they have nothing. Michigan guys, football is one of the many things they do. Think about, like, what Trevor Lawrence said, which I think is a fine way to be. It's just like me with this, you know, with this career. It's not, it doesn't define me. But for some, it defines them. So I think that if the staff recruits guys that need football a little bit more. But I think the thing is about Michigan, it's hard to get those types of guys because Michigan is about a holistic life experience. Not saying other colleges aren't, but I mean, Michigan sells itself as an academic institution and it stays with you that way. There's a reason why I am living in Ann Arbor and no longer in Los Angeles. Couple more here in the segment. You know what? I'm going to have to push some of y'all who are normally in my Victor's Valiant to the third segment, just because I've taken a long time to answer these. So we will get back to you, and then we've got six more questions. We will get to those momentarily. First, betonline.ag. Y'all know it is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but baseball, NBA, NHL, they're all in full swing. BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, reality TV, with real-time updated odds and props almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, the scores, and the odds. It is the best way to place your bets. And guess what? It is free to sign up. Head over to BetOnline.ag to sign up today. Use that promo code LOCKEDON. Receive that 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, and y'all know how much I love Built Bar. I had four yesterday. As I was finishing the podcast, before I even posted it, I had finished off my peanut butter brownie ones, and I'm sad. But I still have half a box of the coconut brownie chunk left. It is time to make some reorders here in a moment. If you don't know what Built Bar is, it is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. High protein, low calorie, low carb, not gritty. You don't need a whole bottle of water to wash it down. I mean, they've gotten more delicious. So if you tried it like a year ago, try it again because it's even better. Seriously. It's the reason why I can't eat just one. It's why I had four yesterday. I didn't have dinner. I had two snacks, essentially. Big snacks. So I'm telling you, go to BuiltBar.com, put in the promo code LOCKED15, get 15% off your next order. BuiltBar.com, LOCKED15 is the promo code, 15% off that next order. All right, let us continue. Continuing with the Victor's Valiant. Spencer Whitmore, at Spencer Whitmore. Is Michigan still having co-defensive coordinators? If so, thoughts on why that works or doesn't? No, not right now. Steve Klinkscale, I believe he can get that promotion to get that title in his second year under contract. But right now, there's just the one defensive coordinator now. I would have liked it just for the sake of, I've told you before about Don Brown. I felt there was no oversight there, even though Harbaugh should be the oversight, but it didn't work out that way. There wasn't the accountability. I would have liked to have the co-defensive coordinator, but that's not going to be the case. So Mike McDonald, I mean, it was going to be your show anyway, because it's not like Linguist was going to be sitting there drawing up plays. But I would have liked to have had that oversight of someone that was essentially on the level being able to say that is a dumb idea. Do this differently. So that's what I would have liked. Not happening that way now. Brandon at BrandonS616. Should the Bo statue and other things paying respect to his time start phasing out with the news that he knew of the scandal with the doctor? If you were the decision maker, what would you do? And I know we're going to, I get this question kind of again. Here's the thing. I haven't read the document. I probably won't read the whole thing or even get that much into it. Credibly, I feel like, yeah, he probably knew. I understand. I agree to some degree with what Sam Webb was saying. This is where things get tricky, right? Because if I say something wrong, there's going to be people that are upset. So I'm going to somewhat plead ignorance in the sense of I don't know what to do. That is not something that I am licensed to make that, to have that opinion. I understand that there's some that say, tear it all down, can't honor this type of behavior. There's the other hand that says he did a lot of good that goes along with some of the bad. Acknowledge the transgressions without completely dishonoring the man. Like, understand the bad that came with the good. Here's why I have an issue. None of these men are around to defend themselves. And while I do feel like the allegations that are in the report and beyond that very likely are true, we don't get the quote other side of the story. And I know that there are people that don't like that in the sense of they hear bad things and they just want them to be true. I'm acknowledging that they very well might be true in the sense of I think they probably are. As far as what you do with that legacy as it exists, I don't know. I don't. Like, I want to say, yeah, tear it all down, but I mean, it's a difficult prospect when you're speaking of deceased people, because you still have, like, the element of, well, Bo might have known, but he might not have exactly known. You know what I mean? Or he didn't. He knew, but he could have done something, but he didn't really understand. I mean, that was kind of what I got from the synopses that I read. It's just, I don't know. I don't know how to handle it. And I know that's going to upset some people because they probably want me to sit there and say, tear it all down, whatever. I'm not saying to tear it down. I'm also not saying don't tear it down. I'm saying I don't know. I don't have the answer. That is not a place where I feel like I have the right thing to say. And I think that's okay. We're not always going to be experts on how to handle things with the most grace and poise. And I think that if that should just be one of those things in life, not everyone is going to have the quote correct opinion. Some people might not know. Some people might want to stay out of it. Not every issue is a life or death issue. Now, that's the thing here is there are hundreds of victims in this case, and I empathize with them. Hence, I mean, the pure number tells you it's probably true. Occam's razor, the simplest explanation is most likely the correct one, most accurate one. I don't know how to honor those men. Do those and women and whoever else, I guess it was mostly men, right? In the case of them, what do they think? Do they think Shem Beckler is at fault? That he was an enabler? Do they feel like he ultimately is responsible? I think their input would be important for me to really know what to do. We'll continue that conversation momentarily because there's more. Jonathan Joseph at JJoseph2156. Is this the best balance of coaching and recruiting staff Michigan has ever had? I don't know because we have to see it. Because it feels like we've been told that a bunch of times. Last year, it was, you know, Harbaugh was saying, I really like my staff. I really think this is the best. I understand, like, that was coaching. we'll see how it works on coaching. We know that recruiting wise, there's not really a weak link, and they've never not had a weak link. They've usually had about 4 weak links when it's come to recruiting. They've had like one or two ace recruiters, a handful of guys that were pretty good at recruiting, and then a bunch of guys that just didn't seem to care. So, I mean, I think you might be right there. Continuing on, Stone at StoneB09. Seems almost like Klink is an upgrade over Mo based on what he did at Kentucky. Agree. If and I'll continue in a moment. I think that it's a possibility. I just think that having the NFL cachet and the recruiting, again, Mo recruited 5 stars. But that's Texas A&M. That's a much bigger school than Kentucky. We talked about Klink recruiting at Kentucky. As far as putting guys in the NFL, Klink obviously done it. Having that solid pass defense, Klink has done it. So maybe, probably. I'm not 100% sure if he's an upgrade or not. Feels like it is. Continues. If you could take one player since Harbaugh has been here and put him on this team to make it as competitive as possible, who would it be? That's really difficult because part of me wants to say Jordan Lewis. But also knowing that they need someone in the middle, up front. Normally I'd say Mo Hurst, but he's not really a nose tackle. I think Brian Monet would probably be that guy for me. Because he would just fit perfectly. It would definitely be someone on the defense. So, yeah. Chase Glasser via Instagram. What is the effect of the WilmerHale Anderson report on the football program? So much of the program's ethos is rightly based on Bo and Bo's maxims of integrity and hard work, but those seem to be called into question with the report. Where do we go from here? Change the name of the hall, take down the statue. I'm very conflicted, and I feel like many are too. I think you're right to feel conflicted because this isn't the same, seemingly, as the Joe Paterno, Jerry Sandusky situation. It's don't get me wrong. This is very, very bad if everything is true. I think we also need to think about, this isn't excusing it. It's going to sound like it is. The time in which that took place, we didn't treat things like sexual assault, especially like on men, with the amount of seriousness that it deserved. Back then, it was just you see that in like this parts that I read, but just both, you know, the toughen up thing, or it's the assistant coach who denied having said, you know, making threats of if you don't work hard on the football field, then you're gonna have to go see Dr. Anderson. Things, you know, you get into a slippery slope to some degree of trying to judge the past by the standards that we have in the current day, because society evolves. Doesn't make it any less abhorrent, but something that was acceptable 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago is completely unacceptable now. You know, and I'm not saying that, again, this is a really difficult situation to talk about because, you know, there's different ways that you can attack this, but I think things are very abhorrent in this situation. And there's no buts to that. I am also conflicted. I think the best thing that you could do is pull those who were affected by situation and get their opinions of how they feel about it. Then there's the other side of me that wants to err and say, you just tear it all down, right? I've already been a proponent of tear down a lot of it just in general because Michigan needs to move on at some point. Can't just continue living in Bo Schembechler's shadow. Maybe this is the impetus for that. And I know that's not a great way to put it. But like I've said, I don't really know how to feel about it. I don't really know how to address it. And I don't know how those men who were affected feel about it and how they would address it. And I think that that should have a lot of... because here's the thing, is Anderson was the guy committing the crimes, doing the things that weren't, you know what I'm saying? He's the one at fault. Bo Schembechler may have been a corollary, but we don't know to what degree. So to what degree do we say tear it all down, put an asterisk next to it, or just leave it alone? I don't have the answers. I think that's the best of that way I can put it. Finishing us out, Mark Zimke at Mark_Z_. What was your favorite adjective the media used following the Mo Linguist news? Mine is heart-wrenching. Honestly, thank you for being the voice of reason. It's much appreciated. I don't know. I didn't really see what anyone else put. Heart-wrenching? Oh, what did I say? I don't even remember. Gut punch? Feel like that was around. I think that's what I said, gut punch. And it is my pleasure to try to treat things with the even-handedness I feel like it deserves as far as evaluating this football and basketball team and all of that. So I appreciate it. All right. Went much longer than I anticipated. But yep, that's it. That's it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow. Hopefully I didn't make too many people upset with my answers to those questions, but you know, it's a difficult topic to discuss. And honestly, I don't feel like I'm qualified to discuss it. That's the best way I can put it. I do not feel qualified to give great insight as far as that's concerned. But I did my best. Apologies if anyone was offended. All right, we'll talk soon. Peace.